Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Greetings and welcome to episode number 91 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell. And 91.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. We're getting close to 100.
Oh, that's true.
That's a landmark.
It is. It's not too long away. And things are changing right now in our own little internet world, in our own little corner of the internet world, in our own podcast, because our publisher, Podomatic, is joining forces with Spotify, which is huge. We're already on Spotify because we were very fortunate to be chosen among the very first to make that migration, which I'm very pleased about. So that's one great thing for Wrinkled Not Dead. WrinkledNotDead.com is the source of all wrinkled stuff. And, of course, Michael Bell Productions is our favorite company because
We do radio and TV advertising. Mm-hmm. We do corporate speaking. Mike just did the City Hope.
Ooh, that went well. Thank you for remembering that.
It went very, very well.
Had a great time.
Great cause for cancer research and diabetes. Yeah. And anything that you hear or see, we can do.
Yes, we do. Now, what we learned this week, well, it was a very sad event, the passing of Stephen Hawking. Now, everybody knows about Stephen Hawking and the poor condition that he was in. So, you know, you see pictures of the poor man. He had a terrible disease, affliction through much of his life. He was a British theoretical physicist, and he was known with his contributions in the fields of cosmology, general relativity, and quantum gravity, which, of course, we know nothing about
black holes,
but he does know about black holes in as well. That was he really kind of brought that to the fore many years ago. You know, what was his IQ, Jen?
160.
And what's general?
Normal is between, I just looked this up, 90 to 110, and really good is 120. So he's so 160. But you said there's somebody.
I know it, and I didn't jot down the gal's name because I didn't want to go into the whole thing. But there's supposedly some young woman. I think she's 18, who has an IQ of 163. So I don't know what field she's in, but it's going to be something. His biggest contribution, and again, we know nothing about this, but it was the M theory. But I can encapsulate that a little bit. The M theory is another in a list of theories by all of these genius folks out there. Great physicists and cosmologists are driven by a passion to find that beautiful, simple description of the world that can be explained as everything. What's the world? And although we're not quite there yet, we wouldn't have a chance without the sharp, creative mind of people like Stephen Hawking. So what we're all looking for is a passion to find a beautiful but simple description of the world that will explain everything, the Big Bang, all of that.
You know, I went to a seminar up in San Francisco with Carl Sagan.
Oh, you
not with him, but I saw him.
Yeah,
sounds like I'm his friend.
Carl, it's Jen.
There's
hi.
Exactly. Right, there's another great mind who passed way before his time. Mm-hmm. And these great thinkers that spread out into the cosmos, I have to admire.
Now, it must be said that, you know, as everybody knows, we're a non-political, non-religious podcast. But famously, Stephen Hawking was an atheist. But now he knows.
Yeah, we always say when someone passes,
they know. Okay, what's our major topic today?
Is starting a business from scratch.
Now that has meaning.
In
a second.
A double entendre.
And a very clever. You came up with it and I loved it too, by the way.
And so I've got a really good quote for this.
Okay.
The quote goes like this. So is it going to be one day or day one?
Lovely.
Isn't that great?
Okay, here's our interview. It's all going to be explained, but I can hardly contain myself because it's so interesting.
I know.
Please get ready to meet the founders of a company called Buddy Belts. What is a Buddy Belt, you say? We will explain in an interview with Roxanne Petipa and Johnny Haslam, founders of Buddy Belts. Hello and welcome to Wrinkled Not Dead, Roxanne Petipa.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, goodness. I have been looking forward to this interview for a very long time because
First of all, we've been, Jen and I have been looking for a name for this particular episode, which will be episode number 91 of Wrinkled Not Dead. Starting a business from scratch, because you are the co-founder of Buddy Belts, which has all to do with pets, dogs and cats. And we're big fans, but I wanted to kind of share the program, not only with your product and your company, but also your partner, Johnny, who have really built this business from scratch. But it's a family business. And so being that is very important to us as well, because we have our own family business. I'd like to talk about that. And then, of course, talk about Buddy Belts, which is a phenomenal company. So first of all, when did you found the company Buddy Belts?
It essentially started with a little dog named Buddy. And I was teaching art full time, and at the time I was living in Nassau in the Bahamas, and Buddy was there to keep me company, and Johnny was flying back and forth and back and forth, and this little dog, you know, was gagging and coughing, and I thought, you know, it was allergies or something, and realized that essentially it was the neck collar he was wearing. So I knew I had to take the stress and pressure off his neck. And at the time, this is 1997, there wasn't anything on the market. Even when we came back to Canada and traveled around and tried, we'd go into pet stores and try on what existed then as harnesses. And they were awkward and lots of clasps and kind of slippy. And he would just lay there and look at me. And so I knew that at that point, I basically just needed to make something for him. And I started with tire rubber, because tire rubber was a material I was using with my students. I was a full-time art teacher, so it was a great pliable material that was forgiving. And anyway, I essentially made the first Buddy Belt with tire rubber. And then Johnny had a shoemaker, cobbler friend of ours, here in Toronto, make a version of it in leather, which was essentially crude, but the design is really the same. It's just been refined and modified to be more streamlined. And, you know, that's where it started. And so essentially I made the design so that it would fit low, so low-cut design, and it was easy to use with one buckle. And the one buckle, hence Buddy Belt. So it's named after Buddy, but it's like a belt with one buckle. So the low-cut design, the shape, and you know, the floating O-ring was a big thing. That was a little bit of a patented design element, and reason for that was so that the O-ring would move when you adjusted the harness for sizing, and the harness itself wouldn't slip and move around, which a lot of harnesses do. So I made it for him, and they were hand cut. I started, you know, walking with Buddy when I'd be back in Toronto, and people would stop me on the street and or the sidewalk. I even had kids stop and say, "Hey, where did you get that harness?" And I would say, "Well, I made it, and I made it for Buddy." And then they'd say, "Well, can you make one for me?" and of course, the challenges, as you can imagine, you know, one challenge after another, because one thing, making one harness for a particular size dog, 10 pounds, and then having to make something for a 15-pound or a 3-pound. So the sizing thing was one of the bigger challenges for me. But and also learning to work with the material. I chose leather because I call it a self-healing material, and it's more natural because it does mold and soften to the body. But it's self-healing in the sense that when you cut it, it doesn't fray. So Johnny was a big help there. We would go to thrift stores and we would buy, you know, used coats and skirts, leather coats and skirts, and cut them up. And I would proceed to make many prototypes and templates. And essentially that's the material I started with. So that's where the design and the actual Buddy Belt were, you know, started. Look, the inspiration was
Buddy. Tell me, Roxanne, what is it like working with your significant other day after day, living together, working together? Are there challenges to doing that, or has it all been pretty fluid and easy for you both?
There's definitely challenges. And, you know, I think we're fortunate in that we have a really amazing friendship, and we both are artists from artistic backgrounds. So when we met in art college, actually. So, you know, I think that works to our benefit and also works against us because we both have such strong, we're such strong minds and such strong spirits. And so, you know, we collide. And I would say that in our, a few years ago, it's been a few years now, we kind of went through a reboot because we lost our beloved buddy.
Yeah.
Take a breath. And, you know, he was with us for 18 years.
My goodness.
And he was our child. We did not have children. So,
right.
And by choice. And so, you know, we looked at each other at that point and it was like, who are you? And what are you doing here? And what do I do? And so we went through a reboot and a rebirth, I guess you could say. And, you know, we came out the other side and stronger and I think better people. And we found a really amazing way to, deal with our life. Balance. We travel, as you can imagine, a lot as BB ambassadors, trade shows, and globally, just on the go. So we're with each other a lot, and so we figured out a really nice way to balance it. In that, you know, we actually kind of have our own place. So I have my own little studio condo. He has his little space, but we have our space together, and we give each other time.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there's a lot of our friends are actually very envious of us right now.
Well, that's a good thing. But at this point, Roxanne, I want to tell everyone who's listening that you may have heard Roxanne describe the sort of origin of a buddy belt and how the design came about. But what I want everybody to do is to follow Buddy Belt on Instagram, Facebook, because the pictures that you post, I don't care if you're a pet owner. I don't care if you like only lizards. The pictures on the Buddy Belt Instagram feed and Facebook feed are so inspirational and happy. It'll make you smile every day. I am not kidding. I don't know how you do it, but the pictures of those dogs never fail to make me amused every single day. It's hard not to have a bad day when you see a Buddy Belt picture in the morning. So, you know,
thank you.
Okay, well, here, we think that Buddy Belts, Jen and I, are the very best dog harnesses ever. And we've learned a little bit about how the process of the company got its start and everything like that. But was there ever a moment that said, oh, my gosh, I think this is going to work for your company?
Yes. And I think, you know, you look back at those beginning days. And when I first I decided I would make a website and I was back in Toronto teaching, and I had teachers starting to want, you know, place orders for their dogs. And I went through that whole sizing thing, spending time in libraries, because that's before computers really, you know, design templates on computers wasn't happening. So I did all this enlarging and reducing and paper cut and paste, and spent many, many long hours in the library and got different sizes. So those templates are still essentially what we use for all our sizes. They've evolved for sure.
So in a moment in time, I think in any company structure, when you have an idea,
yeah.
And you get into manufacturing. Oh, and then is there a moment that you felt that both you and Johnny that said, oh, I think we've got a tiger by the tail. I think this buddy belt idea is going to take off. Where were you, if you can remember that, where were you?
Well, you know, we were driving in a car and we were at a stoplight. And we looked up and these people were crossing the street with their puppy and they were wearing a buddy belt on their puppy. And my mom had just said to me, I was talking to her, she just said, won't it be, like, how are you going to feel? Won't it be cool when you actually see a dog wearing a buddy belt somewhere? And then there it was. And it was like, OMG. Like,
that's fantastic.
It was a fantastic moment.
Well, just as a, you know, as a consumer, we have six buddy belts. We've got four dogs of our own. We gave two of them away as gifts now because we're firm believers, because I don't know if people reflected this to you when you got the idea and they started to, the idea and the word started to spread about how buddy belts work, but we had dogs who will never wear a harness because of Velcro, because of the sound.
Yes.
And a buddy belt makes no sound. It's great.
Right.
It's easy on and easy off. It's even easier off than on. The thing just drops to the ground. The dog walks away. It's so cool. That's why people, we took it to our vet the other day, and he has a chihuahua called Nugget. And we saw the Nug, and I thought, okay, I know that our dogs are all like 3.5 sizes. How do you figure that out?
Well, you know, we did basically do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then add up bigger sizes. And then over the years, we realized, and it's funny, you mentioned Chihuahua, but there are a couple of those little breeds that kind of get in there in between. And because we're customized in that way, we developed the 2.5 and then the 3.5, and we really feel like we filled those gaps. And another one would be like the little Italian Greyhound. So.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, Johnny just arrived.
Hello.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, this is Mike Bell. We're having a great time here. We're talking about, we spread the word of the idea and the concept of this interview, not only to how you devised and developed the Buddy Belt, but also how you and Roxanne have worked together through all of these years and made your partnership in life and in business be something that's to be celebrated. It's, I believe Roxanne said 30 years, is that right? Something like that?
Yeah, I think it's now. We don't keep exact track.
It's quite a feat, really.
It is. I told Roxanne, my Jennifer and I have been married for 33 years and have always worked together, always. And so we found about your past history, how you met in art school. So basically, you're following the same kind of course as Jen and I have all these years. And I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
No.
No, not a thing.
No, and I did film, Mike, in a little bit about our reboot after Buddy passed and how we've come back. And we have a really great life balance, work balance.
Better than ever.
Yeah. Okay. So, Johnny, let me ask you this, because Wrinkled Not Dead is also about all things to do with people who are reinventing themselves over 50 years of age. But for the most part, even our younger listeners, and a great percentage, believe it or not, of them are under 50 years of age, are confronting issues with aging parents. And the reason that you weren't with us at the beginning of this interview, Roxanne told us that you are, she was very complimentary, said how devoted you are to your mom. So tell us how that's going for you right now, and what are the frustrations and the challenges, but also perhaps the things that you celebrate about having this relationship with your mom.
Well, we just went through quite an intense month at the hospital, and she went from being in quite a state of jeopardy to coming back home and being much stronger and better than she was when she went in. So in the meantime, it was get the house together for her return and a move-in person to live with her. And we just came from rehab today, and it was an hour of sort of physical rehabilitation. And she was quite funny through it, in good spirits, and she'd get out of breath and then she'd sit down. And I, after the end of it, I said, "So wasn't that great, Mom?" And she looked at me like, I'm not sure about how great that was.
It was something anyway.
It was something.
Yeah.
But I have to say, she's a sport to go along with it.
Yeah.
And I really have to give her credit at just about 89 to even have the energy and the gumption to get up and come along. And I think she knows I would just nag her to probably to death if she didn't go anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's wonderful to see, and it's an inspiration to any time when you do a discussion like this, it's an inspiration to our listeners to find a devotion like this to an aging parent, because there comes a point, and I think you might agree with me, Johnny, that, you know, there is a lot of reluctance by the parent to kind of cross the boundaries and say, oh, gosh, I'm not as, you know, able to take care of myself as I used to be anymore, and it's a frustration for everybody, is it not?
Yes, it is quite true, and I know she looks at me at times like she wants to strangle me, but she knows that it's my devotion and love that I'm making all these actions. So, you know, we get through it, and she was a great mom, and that's part of the reason that I feel it's the very least I can do for her.
That's wonderful to hear. That is very wonderful to hear. I know that from what Roxanne said that you call her or are in contact with her 5-6 times a day, and so is Jen, my wife, and her mom's 96 years old, and our tough time was having the difficulty of saying, you know, Mom, it's time to try to get some professional help for you and move into a facility where your safety is not going to be a moment by moment concern. Are you almost there yet?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely there now. While she was in the hospital, I made contact with a live-in full-time caregiver for her.
Yeah.
And so she now lives with the mom, and my mom was pretty independent and lived alone up till about a month ago. So the adjustment was a little rocky, but I think after it's been about 5 weeks now, I think she's coming around to realize that Angie really is her lifeline. And whether she likes it or not, she doesn't have a whole lot of choice there.
And
yeah.
She has people that come through the week.
Yes, and she also has people that come in through the week, PSW workers.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So all things considered.
Let's join.
Again,
and my brother as well.
For our listeners, again, I'm calling Roxanne and Johnny from San Diego, California, and they are in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Both Jen and I, for regular listeners to the program, know that we are dual citizens. Both I was born in Western Canada, and Jen is an Eastern girl, and we always talk about it as, you know, well, it's kind of different for you, but... Anyhow, we're delighted to have this kind of common thread between all four of us. But back to Buddy Belch for a moment, and thank you for sharing that, Johnny. I mean, I'm sincere about
You're
it.
Very because, welcome.
You know, it's tough to talk about sometimes, but every time we do advance into this area and this topic, I have to do it because our listeners out there need the kind of support that you are just delivering. They really do, because There comes sometimes when their despair runs in the family because you just don't know what to do and you just don't know how to proceed. And so your current experience is a real inspiration. But back to Buddy Belts online. Wow, holy cow, this is, what a presence you are. And I was complimenting Roxanne on the pictures that you have every day are an inspiration to everybody on Instagram and Facebook. So you wake up in the morning, you punch up the feed from Buddy Belts, and you're going to feel good all day. But are they...
And I will say, Mike, that there are actually lizards and pigs and cats, all kinds of different animals if you do scroll through our feed. And we do have to thank, we do have to give some of that thanks to Megan Bickell, who works with us on our social. And as a team, you know, here, I think we're small, but... You know, the world is really presenting us with so much, you know, material. They're giving it, they're handing it to us, and they're proud to do it and happy to do it. And we just, what we try to do is basically share and give that back, you know.
Well, that's a wonderful thing. I have to, I was going to say this off mic later, but my first interaction with your company was through Megan. And she is a phenomenal person in her field. We end up talking to a lot of folks because we do interviews all the time. And some of them rise above the others. And I'll say Megan Bickell is fantastic.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. She'll like to hear that.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be online with her in a few minutes after the show and tell her how.
Exactly.
But, okay. So we found our Buddy Belts at a place in Solana Beach, California. Which is just a couple miles from us, a store called Metropolis, which has always been one of the kind of higher end, the kind of lovely place you go to buy products like Buddy Belts. And we got them there. So my question to you is, now I know online business is one thing, but and everybody who buys clothing online is fearful of fit and everything else. But if people want to just go and touch and feel, where are they generally found? Where are Buddy Belts found in retail stores?
Metropolis was one of our first, first couple of, maybe our second actual retail, like that we sold wholesale to, you know, that would have been 2003 or 2004. So kudos to Metropolis, I have to say.
Longstanding excellent client.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? What a coincidence that is, huh?
Right to San Diego. In California, big market.
Yep.
So, But really, you know, we tend to be centered in, you know, urban centers around the globe. And, you know, you can plug in a postal code or an address in our
Google search address in our on our website and see what stores are available or near you. That's always a good way to do it. But we tend to be in boutiques and independent shops, pet shops around the globe.
That's wonderful. And that there's the reason for all the travel that you mentioned earlier, huh?
Yes.
I'm sorry, where was that? I missed
Japan.
Oh, in Japan. Well, that's cute.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, final question for both of you. Where do you see the company in 5 years?
Okay, so I have been thinking about that. And, of course, Johnny and I always are at a time in life when we're thinking about that. I'll give my two cents and then he can throw something in. But I know for me, I worked endlessly to try to create all the systems and processes that we need to make this a fine-tuned machine. And essentially what we want to do within the next couple of years is be working on our business and not in it, and continue to be traveling the world as BB Global ambassadors, and holding our little legacy buddy high. And so that's my two cents.
Okay. All right. Roxanne had the first word. Johnny, you get the last word.
The pressure's on me now. That's the last word.
Oh, yeah, baby. Come on. Don't let the team down now.
I think she's actually quite correct about trying to streamline the company and refine all of our processes internally and globally to just keep our quality up. And I tend to think of this company as being small-gantic. It's a little company that has large bounds, and I think we just need to keep making a great product and making dogs and dog owners happy as we can.
Did you say small-gantic?
Yes, I did.
That's the first time I heard that, but I like it.
You know what? That is the final word, and in the background, you probably hear Ricky Ricardo, one of our chihuahuas, letting you know that that was a great last word. To both of you, you hear? Yeah, okay. All right. Roxanne and Johnny, this has been a definite pleasure. Thank you so much for agreeing to the interview. And Wrinkled Not Dead is behind you all the way.
I'm glad that I made it.
Thank you, Mike. And our best to Jen.
Aren't they the most charming people?
You did a great job.
Well, thank you. I missed you, though.
I know,
because you always have these offbeat questions that you'll ask something. But what I loved about them both is that they're very forthcoming about their feelings as well. But remember, they met in art school, and they're obviously artists still, but they have this wonderful global business.
And they started from
scratch. Oh, no. Okay, so because they were on the show, Roxanne and Johnny, thank you so much. I mean, please come down to Southern California. Please come down. And if you're here, we'll be very upset if you don't come and say hello to us.
We love buddy belts.
We do. So let's talk a bit about the global pet market after the starting from scratch
of course
thing. This is where you can get to. Global pet market is now projected to reach sales of $115 billion with a B dollars. Industry has also grown by a healthy 3% on average over the past 5 years or so.
And did you know that pets are more important to their owners than ever before, mm-hmm. especially in the developed markets? And a growing pet population is emerging.
Yeah, in markets that you didn't think of.
Like, exactly.
Perhaps like, remember when we went to Bali, for example, and I mean, pets were not an issue there, were they?
No, and people are spending a lot of money on their pets.
Mm-hmm. Pet care industry continues with positive growth on the global dog and cat treats. That's where it's at right now.
Oh, man, there's
not.
Tons.
Cat treats. Cat treats beats them all. It's got this huge double-digit growth over the last 5 years. And so it's an opportunity for manufacturers, including Buddy Belts. Part of the success is that the treats are a way to bond and reward their pets. But here's my point.
Okay.
Something that's very important, of course, is, bonding with your pet. But
right.
What could be more important even than that would be the pet comfort and their safety. And I can guarantee you the design of a buddy belt definitely has integrity when it comes to safety and comfort. We know it because we have six of them.
It really does. And I have to say that a lot of people find enjoyment getting, well, I know I do, like a sweater for our dog and a toy.
No, you see, you're, the thing with you, though, you buy a sweater for the dog, you always buy two.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm a Libra. I have to be balanced out.
I know. You go to the store, you buy a banana. No, you'd buy two bananas.
Just in case of something bad.
I know. I've only noticed that over 33 years.
Exactly.
So I should always expect that you're going to come home with two devices, not one, but it goes on and on. And
yeah.
On. It's very endearing, by the way. Expensive, but endearing. Okay. So now, why don't we... Not everybody is as fortunate as the Roxanne and Johnny to have buddy belts.
Yeah, and some people aren't interested in opening a business for pets.
That's correct.
Some people are not pet people. That's okay.
Uh-huh.
So we wanted to also include people that are thinking of starting
any kind of business.
From scratch, from zero.
Us.
From ground zero, like we did.
Like we did. Our podcast is a business from ground zero. So as we go through these six simple points, we'll just kind of bring you our own personal perspective on them, and we'll go from there. But they're worthy, even if you have heard a few of these steps before, they're worth hearing again, because no matter what your age, you should know these basics to begin your business.
Exactly.
Old or young, doesn't matter.
So you need to research your market, which we did. We really did. Search Google for keywords that are related to your industry.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important. Do not get discouraged if the market seems flooded.
It
doesn't matter. You can use this to your advantage. The world is a big place. It means that it is working for those people and you can make it work for you. The money is there. Now that we have the internet, the world has expanded.
You don't have to appeal to everyone.
No.
Just that little teeny sliver.
And when you're dealing with the world, that little teeny sliver is gigantic.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the largest context, $115 billion industry isn't that much.
No, but so it is enough
to
make a nice living.
So you think about it, folks, because that's the truth. Set a tangible financial goal. This is, thank you very much,
it's
Mike.
It's very important.
No, but it is. The idea here is to set new goals every 6 months and always stretch the initial mark.
Mm-hmm.
So keep moving forwards. Work backwards, they say, and figure out what you need to do each day to get to where you want to be. Set a goal that's a stretch and look at the steps that you need to take every day to accomplish that goal. We've talked about that in the past, about little increments, lists, things that you can get done, things that must get done, but make the list and scratch off the items. It feels so good.
It does. It really does. Now,
okay.
When you create a website, make the content shareable. So, so important. It is great to reference some of the leaders in your space. So
which
take
we
a,
do.
Yeah, we do. So take a look at, they're not even competitors now.
They don't call them
competitors like we used to in the old days.
They're
people that share your space.
Like Gary Vee and stuff.
Exactly.
Like
so, but when you're developing your own brand, it's important to create a unique content that is you, your single hub, a site that your readers and viewers can reference back to for more good content. And that is a blog.
Yeah.
You need to be on the internet right now. If we were starting our Michael Bell Productions
this backwards.
We would have had to have started with a blog, a website, and a podcast.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of what we do with Wrinkled Not Dead, it would have been better to start with the blog before the podcast.
But that's okay, because a lot of young people who have successful businesses said just start where your strength is. And our strength, obviously, was the podcast.
You're leading me into a point that I will make later. But the fact of that is, I mean, you're just get in there, you know.
Exactly.
Okay,
do
so
it.
Here's build a list. We are terrible at this.
We really are.
We are terrible.
We stink.
We stink. Email is the best form of currency online. And building an email list is one of the most important tools in building a business. God, do we stink at this. As you develop your shareable site that you just mentioned, begin building a list of emails of people that visit your site. Well, we can do that, but we always seem to be so darn busy doing all the other stuff that we need to do. The Michael Bell Productions, the blog, the podcast, the appearances, the stuff that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so stuff gets shuffled to the background, and this email thing is where we are falling down. So if you're starting the business, do not make the mistake that we are currently making. This will translate into buyers for the future of your product or service. Email lists still work.
Lauren, our goddaughter, says all the time, have you done, you should set out time where you send out, like she said, 50 to 100 emails, email blasts, and we haven't done it yet. So
yeah, I know.
We need to.
There. By the way, there are tools for that. Check them out online because there are lots of services that will help you to build an email list and on what you have.
And Gary Vee from VaynerMedia says there's never been an easier time to launch a business from scratch because of the internet.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree.
And five, launch a product or service you can sell that you feel passionate about, that you really are grounded in. If you have a financial goal that you've set out for the next 6 months and you have to sell something, take the time to figure out challenges your audience is facing and build your relationships with them. Mm. Very important to get people to build a relationship with you. Get them to know you. And I find that on Instagram. They know us personally, kind of, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to let down all, you know, let them know everything about you. But people want to be more personal nowadays than they used to be.
Well, that's the whole idea of influencers and sort of micro influencers. And the whole ball game is about trust.
And it all came from all the reality TV where we got to see people inside their homes. So people want a more intimate relationship. Now, create something that solves their problem, that makes someone's life easier. Very important.
Okay.
Your leads come from your email list and your blog can direct them to the products that you trust. If they trust you, they will trust your product choices.
Okay. So this has been our goal right from the first episode that we published, is that this is who we are. We don't pretend to be anything different. We're not flogging everything under the sun that we have ever heard of and all of that. So at some point along the line, and I don't know when it will be, there will be a tip over for us in terms of making this as a business, not just what we're doing creatively, which we love and adore and will always do no matter what, but something that is also a profitable business, because we hope we will have built up a level of trust with our listeners, so that when we say, you know what, we have never found, and I'm just going to toss it out there, they're not a sponsor, and I'm not going that direction at all about this. Why did we talk about the folks from Buddy Belts? Because we believe in them.
Right? Mm-hmm. All our dogs have Buddy Belts.
And we know, and I talked to our dental physician, or a dental hygienist today about it. She has a dog, told her about the Buddy Belts. She wrote it down, going to do it.
Yeah.
But that's the way friends help friends to buy stuff.
And that's how it's different now. There's not competitors. When the world is as big as you can get now because of the internet, you can share this.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Last point in this is start now and improve as you go. Michael Bostick really pounded this into us, didn't he? He had found this out, and he was so proud of this information, wherever he got it. But Michael Bostick, of course, married to Lauren Everts. They're basically our godchildren, and they have the Skinny Confidential.
And the Him and Her podcast.
And their enormous podcast. Yeah. All the good stuff that we talk about, and we brag about them all the time. It's terrible, but we do anyway. But he said, don't worry about making it perfect. Just get it out there, get it started. And we started off with the most rudimentary equipment. We didn't know anything about what we were doing. And now after 91 episodes, 91, how close is that to 100? Anyway, we've developed something, but he was right. It wasn't perfect. It isn't perfect now. That's what I love about it. It is never going to be perfect.
And if you're a listener and you're over 50, you know what? I mean, you just got to get out in there and do it.
You don't have
any time.
Because
you're not 20 years old anymore to perfect it.
That's a good point.
So we hope you learned something about...
Clock's ticking out there, buddy.
We hope you learned something about starting a business from scratch and learned something from Buddy Belts, because they truly were someone that started a business from scratch.
As I recall from the interview, I think the 97 is when they started.
Yeah.
And, it started
it's amazing.
From a chunk of rubber around a dog's neck.
I know. I mean, that takes
off. Yeah.
And they were passionate about the product. They cared about the product. And so this is what came
up. And so do we, and so can you. If you, and I do this every time, I opt to this, but I don't, must be focused on cheese. But if you want to start a podcast and a blog about cheese, why not?
You like the word cheese because it's actually a funny word.
It is funny.
Cheese.
I think I learned that from...
John Candy.
John Candy?
I think so.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I bet you're right.
I know. What a
sadly
great,
gone.
Great.
I think he died like 22 years ago.
Oh, God. Way too soon.
Just about a week ago.
One of my favorites.
I thought it was the pythons. But anyway.
Well, we have a fun fact.
Okay, we do.
Now, I know this to be a fact because I have done this with my friend's dog, Claudia, and she goes crazy. Dogs get high when you rub their ears.
High, like in happy?
Really high, and they kind of stare and make these really fabulous noises when you do, when you rub their ears over and over again for a period of at least like 2 minutes. They have a branch of nerves in their ears that extend to their internal organs, and it releases endorphins, which send relaxing impulses through their bodies and give them that natural high.
That's wonderful.
I know. And I'm telling you, it works with Claudia. She just goes nuts. And I just rub and rub and rub her ears.
Huh.
The inside and the outside of her ears.
Well, I think some of them are better at expressing their love and appreciation.
Ricky Ricardo would probably scream.
He just would yell at you.
Yeah.
So, I know.
But it is. We looked it up and this is true. So isn't that nice?
I love it. Can I steal your health minute this
Please
time?
Please do.
It's about the pooches again. Well, pets in general. And I don't want to exclude people who have budgies and people who have...
No, not at all.
Iguanas and people...
We've had them all growing up.
They're buddy iguanas things.
I've had...
There are.
Guinea pigs and lizards and alligators and snakes.
So a pet owner, on average, but takes 29% of pet owners are on medication. Without a pet, 34%.
Hmm.
Doctor visits, about 40% for pet owners. 50% for non-pet owners. These are folks over 50 years of age. So significant difference in both of them. Medication levels and also requirements for visits to the doctor. Owning a pet gives you, well, and I know this is true.
This is true.
Owning a pet gives your immunity a boost, makes you move a walk around a lot more. We have to walk Emma twice a day now, and we didn't do that before. Petting a dog releases serotonin and some other drugs that reduce pain and stress in your body as well. So it's all good for everybody and their pets.
And they say as you get older, the pet gives you a reason, like Mike said, to go outside, walk the pet, take care of the pet, take your mind off yourself. Which is really good.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's a good button to put on that thing.
I think
Okay, that's your health minute. Okay, time off.
Oh,
you want to do this, the beginning of the time off because it's hooked to the dogs?
Yeah, we had both our dogs, Emma, my mother's dog, who's a rescue.
Mm-hmm. Who's about almost 10 now.
Almost 10, and Abigail Jane, who was kind of almost a rescue. So one is a miniature poodle and one is a chihuahua. And they both, within 2 weeks of each other, had their teeth cleaned because it was cleaning month.
It was Yes, it was.
National Teeth Cleaning Month.
So there was like a 25% reduction, but also you just know by the breath odor and all the rest. You just got to do it. You got to do it.
You really do. And even Emma, who had great teeth, had to have one tooth pulled.
Yeah, I know.
But Abigail Jane had to have 15 pulled. And most people go, oh, my God, that's a lot of teeth. But... did you know that dogs have 42 teeth and humans have 32?
Excuse me. Our hygienist, Kelly O'Connor, had something to say about that.
What did she say?
We have actually 28 teeth and four, guess what? Wisdom teeth.
Okay.
You have yours?
I have three.
Oh.
I have three out. One. I have one.
Okay. I have all four. So I have 32 teeth.
Well, there you. I know.
But she made that point, and I said, okay, you're getting credit for that because it does make a point. But I think I have a feeling not everybody gets wisdom teeth as well. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Well, next week we'll have an answer to that one.
But when you hear like your dog had to have 15 teeth out, it's not so bad. But the bottom line is that dogs are living longer and cats and pets in general when you can keep their teeth clean. The number one thing that Dr. Burkhart, our new vet, said was dental decay causes early death. That's why dogs and cats and pets are living longer because we're taking care of their teeth.
Okay.
And it takes time. So I spent time with both our dogs because they're not too happy when they come home. But you know what? I took it as a time off to really spend time with them and yeah. to enjoy them and to love them.
Yeah.
That was my time off, and I loved it.
Yeah, I know. You see the little devils come home, and they're kind of stoned out and all.
Oh, Emma was looking at me with her mouth hanging open.
Oh, yeah. We always take pictures. We're not posting those pictures either. They look like they're...
Well, they're private.
If you've had an IQ for them at that moment.
I know, but she was in my arms with her head on my heart, listening to my heart. So that was my time off.
Speaking of hearts... They can just harvest one and put it into another person.
I know. Listen to this, you guys.
The Frankenstein Chronicles.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh.
Okay. So, I mean, be ready because there's a multitude of characters. But if you may have found a theme with us over the many episodes that we've had.
Yeah, dark.
About dark, wet, dreary, muddy, stinky, British. Or French kind of shows. But if you like that kind of stuff,
we like period pieces.
We do. We really do. And Frankenstein, or as we say at home, Frankenstein, the Frankenstein Chronicles is a good one for time off. Remember when? Okay, here's one for you. The first tin cans, were so thick they had to be hammered open. As cans became thinner, it became possible to invent dedicated can openers. In 1858, Ezra Warner of Waterbury, Connecticut, patented the first can opener, and the U.S. military used it during the Civil War. I swear we have an 1858 can opener in our drawer that you use above the best ones on the market ever.
And I'll tell you why. I hate these newfangled can openers, don't you? Listeners, I'm telling you, you try to put the ones that get on the top of the can and cut it evenly and all this. I like the one that went on the side and it was just very simple and it was in a metal and you just punctured the can and you took it around the side.
Mm-hmm.
And that works all the time. I'm sick of these new can openers. I'm sick of electric can openers. The old ones are the best. Okay. I'm sorry. It's just like a day timer. Many people are going back.
First of all, half the listeners will not even know what a day timer is.
A day timer is something that you open up and you write down what you need to do that day and what's coming up the next day and what's coming up the next day. I'm telling you, so many young people have gone to the old-fashioned way of having a paper day timer as opposed to having something online.
Well, sorry, I'm going the online thing.
Oh.
But at least that way, you know why? Because I get an alert the day before so that my stupid brain will recall that I have
a visit to
the
doctor. You can't just open up the book. I'm telling you, I think sometimes the old way is the easier
way. All right,
way.
Okay.
All right.
Let me give you a quote.
Let's wrap this up.
Okay. This, I love this. This is about starting a business from scratch.
Right.
You're going to love this, folks. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary.
Oh,
Vidal Sassoon, the hair dude. Isn't that great?
Very good.
Okay, can I give you one more? Because you always do two. What are you, Libra, cowboy?
Libra.
Okay, anyway. This is my personal favorite. Catch a man a fish, and you can sell it to him. Teach a man to fish, and you ruin a wonderful business opportunity.
Who said that?
Karl Marx.
Oh, gosh.
No, please, really? Whoa, okay.
Oh,
wrap
my gosh.
It up. Wrap
I think
it
this
up.
Wraps up starting a business from scratch. Good luck out there, by the way, because you know what? It's the way to go if it's in your blood.
Okay.
This is a quote. Stop being afraid of what could go wrong and start being excited about what could go right. And who's that from?
Tony Robbins. Hi, Tony. One of the originals.
Oh, the best.
He was. He still is.
He still is. So go out there and start a business from scratch if that's what you want. Because you know what? We're all in this together.